Thanks so much for joining us online today. We're always encouraged to hear stories of how lives are being changed by the message of grace all around the world from what we do right here in Longwood, Florida. So if you have a story you'd like to share with us, please send it to stories@graceorlando.com. If you'd like to support the mission and the ministry of Grace Church, you can give conveniently online at graceorlando.com. Thanks so much again for joining us today.
Let's just pray for a second. Just say, thank you, Daddy, that we can get together like this. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you never leave us. You're always here, not only with us, but in us. And we are just so grateful and thankful for you and who you are. I ask that you would just talk to us today. The fire that you've put in us, I ask that you would ignite it even brighter, that we would be like those burning bushes, spreading your light and your life and your fragrance everywhere we go. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when Dave asked me to do it, I, you know, it's always like, it's hard to follow people like that. And Bill, and it's like, oh. But so I really didn't get too nervous, which was different. And I thought, thank you, Lord, thank you. And during the week, just asking, what in the world am I supposed to do? Because I have a really good friend that teaches Bible study over at a Baptist church. But they have their planned lesson that they go with. And I thought, you gotta hear God and come up with your own thing here. And anyway, okay, we're going to do something entirely different today. And it's because I can't teach like Dave, and the Lord knows that. And so he put something in my heart, and it started a few weeks ago without realizing that this was going to happen. But, okay, and it sort of bounced off of what he was talking about last week about that scripture over there in 2 Corinthians that says, even though we walk in the flesh, we do not war. How does that go? Our weapons are not carnal, but they're divine to the pulling down of strongholds, bringing every imagination captive to the obedience of Christ. We don't have to be obedient exactly like he was. We rest in his obedience, which is like awesome. And then he also used the scripture over in Genesis where Joseph told his brothers, you meant this for evil. But that scripture literally says, but God meant it for good to the what you see today, the saving of many souls. And then Dave connected it with the scripture in Romans chapter 8 where it says, in all things God works for the good for those that love him and are called according to his purpose. So that all kind of played in to what the Lord was beginning to show me. How many of you in here have some kind of musical background? Singing, music? Only one? Okay, Dee. Oh, woohoo!
I play the radio.
Uh-huh. Me too. And I put it loud so I can't even hear myself. But last time we got together that I had the opportunity to share, I talked about how God was talking to me about sound and music and all of that. Well, at work one day, I got really bored because it was quiet. There was nothing going on. So on the computer, I went online and put on some Christian instrumental music to just listen to. And I thought, nobody can complain because they can't hear any words. It's just instrumental. And the second song that came up was, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. Do any of you remember that? Okay, it meant a lot to me a lot of years ago. And I just sat there listening to it, and all of a sudden there was a great desire to go look up the words. And get them all because I thought I had them, but I wasn't too sure, and to look up the history of that. So I believe that God told me this morning we can share. I'm going to share two old hymns, that one and 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Okay, I'll read the words to us. I will not sing them. You would run fast if that happened. But I feel like I just feel like he said it's okay to do this. And then maybe we can share a few testimonies. I have decided to follow Jesus. Does anybody remember all the words to that? Okay, it's, I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. Repeat three times. No turning back, no turning back. Then the next verse is really simple. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. Though none go with me, yet I will follow. No turning back, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. And then the third verse is, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Well, how that came about, has anybody ever heard this before?
No.
I never had either. It's just so exciting. It's okay. Like 200 years ago, the Welsh Revival. Okay, a lot of people were saved during that, and they went out as missionaries all over. And a bunch of them went to northern India, to some of the remote villages in India. Evidently, now I've heard a couple of different takes on this, so I'm going to combine them together. Evidently, some of them went somewhere up there in northern India, and I don't know the name of the village, but one family committed their lives to the Lord Jesus through some of these missionaries. It was so real to them. He was so real to them. The whole family, the father, the mother, and two sons, that they caused a disturbance in this little village. And not only that, this village was known for being very savage. The men were very much like savages. They were called headhunters. And they would have wars with other villages. And when they won, they would kill their enemies, chop their head off, and hang them in their house as victory trophies. I mean, really, so you can imagine how gross it was and dark. This one family got the life and the light and got free. Can you imagine how free they got from that oppression and that darkness and that savagery? That's a new word. Anyway, it started causing some disturbance in the village. And other people were beginning to come and know the Lord. And the chief didn't like it, and he got really mad. And so he commanded that they go get this family and bring them to the center of the village, and the whole village gathers around, and he's telling them, renounce your new religion in this Jesus, or I'm going to kill your family. Well, a few days, nobody knows exactly, I don't think, but a little while before that, the daddy of the family wrote those words down. And evidently God gave him the tune, and he wrote it. Well, when the chief said, renounce this Jesus or I'm killing your sons. They were both standing right there, the sons. He looks at them. He loves them immensely. But he knows he cannot renounce Jesus or the life that is in him. So I don't know if he sang it or said it, but he says, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. With that, the chief commanded the archers to kill the two sons, and he shot them. They fell right there. The chief says, all right, I'm going to give you another chance. Renounce, or we're going to kill your wife. He looks at his wife. Now look, the sons didn't protest. They stood there with him. The wife didn't protest. He says, he looks at the chief, he looks at his wife. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine. He goes, though none go with me, yet I will follow. No turning back. With that, killed the wife. There his family is laying dead. He goes, he's standing there. The chief says, all right, one more chance to save your life. You renounce this Jesus or we're going to kill you. He goes, the cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back. No turning back. Phew, killed him. Well, now there are two different takes on this part. One of them that I've heard, they said right in that moment, the chief was affected and realized that there was something powerful going on here and turned. The other person I heard talking about it says, over a while, the seeds that were planted in his heart came to fruition, and other families were affected, and he got affected by the presence and the love and the power of Jesus Christ and the love of God. And the chief ended up giving his heart completely to Jesus, realized that what they had been worshiping wasn't anything but a bunch of demons. It wasn't the reality of a real God. And so he gave his heart, and because of that, the whole village got saved. And then the region started being affected. Is that awesome? Is that just awesome? Now, that happened a lot of years ago. But the reality of the life of our Almighty God that came into them and changed them drastically. All right, there's another, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, is another hymn that I grew up on it listening to, and I have all the words. There are a lot of verses to that one. And I never knew the story to that, so I thought, oh my word, I've got to go find out what the story behind this is. Well, I happened to find a book in the library that has all these hymns in it with a short history of how they came about. Can you imagine that? God just had that book laying right there in the library at work. And I'm like, and I never go down there to the library because I'm not ever supposed to leave the front desk. But that day, I just went down there, and there's that book, and I picked it up, and here it is in here. So anyway, first I want to read the words to you. Enough said about that. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. And then the chorus, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Then, now listen to this verse. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath a healing, cleansing flood. And then you do the chorus again. Then the next verse. Yes, 'tis sweet to trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Then the chorus. Then the last verse. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. I mean, how precious and sweet. Do any of you, have you ever heard the story behind this one? Okay. There was this, the lady's name that wrote this is Louisa Stead, S-T-E-A-D, Stead. She and her husband and their four-year-old little girl were, it was a beautiful day, and they wanted to go to the beach, Long Island Beach, to enjoy the day. And so they pack up and they go. And they're sitting there having a great time. And all of a sudden they hear all these really loud panic cry for help. And there's this little boy out in the water and he's drowning. And so the husband jumps up, runs out to save the little boy. In the process of the whole thing, the little boy pulls him, panics. They both drowned. While the Louise and her daughter are watching. So she was left completely with no means of support. No, you know, it doesn't say whether she had other family or not, but she had no means of support, and they were in dire poverty were the words. Well, one day, all their food had run out. All her money was gone. She had no food, no money. And they were believers. They were Christians. And it doesn't say she prayed that morning or anything like that. Who knows? Nobody really knows. But anyway, she went to the front door to go outside, just, I guess, to walk around or do something. Somebody or somebodies had left on the front porch money and food. And it was right after that she sat down and wrote this little hymn that we sing that so touches our heart. She learned that she could trust Jesus through anything, no matter what. Now, the thing that really hit me about these two, because they're really different from each other, one, they knew the reality of the life and the freedom and the peace of life of God that came in and changed everything in their hearts. They did not just add God to their lives to get a bunch of blessings. Like, we hear a lot of that these days. A lot of times you almost think that a lot of Christians are treating God like a genie in the bottle. If you do this, this, and this, then God's got to do this, this, and this. There was such a profound change in the way that they thought. Their mind was renewed. The whole family, the sons, the wife, and the father, the whole family was so profoundly changed by the renewing of the mind. Now, who knows if they had a Bible or what? We don't know. But we know they had a relationship with a living God that they knew loved them and that gave them peace and joy in the midst of dark, savage life. They weren't just doing it just to get a blessing. Neither was this other lady. She and her husband and her little girl lived. They were Christians. They were believers. They loved the Lord. And this horrible tragedy happened. And she learned that God was going to take care of her no matter what the outward circumstances, no matter what. Now, I want to quote a famous preacher that we all know, something that he said in 2009 that I never heard until a few months ago when I listened to an old preaching. And he said, "Inward freedom." And you can add in there, I believe, peace, joy, all of that. True freedom, true peace, true joy is inward. And is in total opposition to outward circumstances. Is that an awesome and powerful statement of the truth? True freedom, true peace is in the inward, in our born-again spirit, and our butterfly that's in there, because I just see us as when we're born again, we change from a caterpillar to a butterfly. And in our inward man, in our born again spirit, and who we really are, true freedom and peace is inward and is in total opposition to outward circumstances. Guess who said that? Yes. I know, they did. That is so cool. And I think these really speak to that. They had true inward peace and freedom. Okay, back to the first one. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Didn't he say over and over through the Gospels, follow me? Come, come and see, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. Come, come to me, follow me. And it's like, that's what that family did. What time do we finish this? I don't, at 10 after? Okay. So now I want to get to a modern one. I don't know, y'all. I have the radio on when I'm in the car and stuff, so I can sing along and not hear myself. Inside it sounds real good, but when it comes out of here, it's boom. But so this singer, I'm sure y'all have probably all heard of him, Toby Mac. Well, I had no clue what this guy looked like or anything else, but this song that he sings grabbed my attention. It's called When Love Broke Through. Have you heard that one? It's like, and what caught me on it is what you just did. In the background, it does that. And I just thought, it reminded me of the guys in the jungle for some reason. Because that sound to me is like, you know, like that. So I got really listening to the words of this song. It's pretty shocking. And I thought, oh my word, how did this come about? So, yeah, online I found him giving a little bit of a testimony, and that song is his testimony of how he came to the Lord. He was 13, though. I thought he was a lot older because of the way he said he was running. Running why? No, that's not it. No, it's Love Broke Through. Did you find it, Dee? Yeah, he's got a lot of good ones. But this one says, the chorus part of it, you found me in the darkness, running through the desert. I was a devoted fool. Now I'm fully, hopelessly devoted. My chains have been broken. And it's all because of you. And then another part of it, he says that God pursued him because he loved him. Did you find it? Okay.
I think this is it. By your microphone, maybe it comes with video. I believe it's it.
Oh, this is a really long part, one of it. See if you can find one that's shorter. There's one that's shorter. Anyway. Where is it?
prayer in that broke down dusty room. It was the first time I said I'm yours, the first time I called you Lord.
Y'all can sing. That's enough. Anyway, that's a modern one. 200 years from now, who knows, you know, how that might minister to people. But it's just like, oh, the Lord is just raising up more and more. But this guy, when you see him, he wears the craziest clothes. And I mean, you know, it's just, but it's so fun because he is totally committed to the Lord. And it's like, oh, wow, Lord, thank you, thank you. Okay, I wanted to, we probably don't have time. I'm just going to, before all of this started with the Lord quickening these songs to me and the desire to look up the history and all of that, I was just sitting down one day and you know how the Lord, you feel like you're hearing from the Lord and you just start writing down. I've hesitated whether I should read this or not, but I just want to. I think it'll be a blessing over all of you. I just want you to be blessed and know what he thinks of you. There is a Savior. He loves you more than you can conceive. His love is the light of life. It reaches from the highest heavens to the deepest depths. He came from his glory kingdom to this very earth to get you for himself. He left his home to come receive you and bring you back to himself. This Almighty One is ravished by the slightest turning of your eye to him. He is overcome by your look of love toward him. He says, oh, they are coming to me. They believe me. They love me. Oh, how beautiful my church, my bride. You have taken my heart away and ravished me. The Spirit and the bride, my bride, he says, are calling, come, come, my Lord. Come, my heart is swollen within me. Come. Make haste, my beloved. I hear your voice, the sound of my beloved. Oh, come and be like the young stag among the, on the mountains of spices. My beloved says, surely I am coming quickly. Oh, yes, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Do you hear him calling you, saying you are his beloved? His voice has gone out into all the world saying, it is finished for my bride. Come, come and see. I will show you great and wonderful things that are not yet and that are to come. I am your great and wonderful reward. The fragrance of life for you and through you. The fragrance of life unto life right now for you, unto you, through you. You are beautiful, my bride. I have eyes only for you, only for you. And then this scripture came up. No one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, his bride. So, amen. We just say, amen, so be it. And I just wanted to end with that and say, if you find some words rising up, maybe you're going to be a songwriter or a hymn writer. Just write them down, you know. But if you don't, that's okay, because everyone is unique. And the slightest turn of your eye to him undoes his heart and thrills him to no end. So, amen. So thank you, Lord. We just thank you for your love and your goodness. Thank you that you have put yourself by your Holy Spirit into us when we believe. And we just say yes. Okay, thank you, and amen. Amen.